Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Good morning, good morning. It's going to be all right. It's going to be better than all right. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Shout out to everybody in the live stream. Shout out to Chris Nalina, who said, I personally would love to hear more Yankees talk right now instead of talk about the Knicks-related stuff, because all day long tomorrow they'll talk about the Knicks like today on the station. And if you go back from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it is now Wednesday morning. Good morning, good morning, KM to AM. I've got till 2 in the morning, and we will talk about the Yankees because I'd rather talk about the Yankees, but we got to play Mad Dog Russo weighing in. And you just heard what I was referencing with the captain, the clutch player of the year, Jalen Brunson, after the series. And that's why, like, it's not a knee-jerk reaction, because this isn't something that came out of the blue. This is something that had been talked about this whole season. This is something that had been expected, because the expectation was that the Knicks would be knocked out in the second round, inevitably facing the Celtics. But even when they got past the Celtics, right, Tibbs still wasn't safe. You thought that that was his saving grace. But then when you're favored to beat the Pacers, the small market Pacers, and you're big bad New York City, and you blow that game one, like, that's enough to get fired right there. And then you being stubborn and changing your ways, showing that you could adapt, but it being too little too late, and your bench not really being able to hang with those guys, like, that's a negative mark. And ultimately, somebody has to take the fall, because forever, folks are going to feel like this was a year that the Knicks could have got it done. I didn't feel that way. But, like, the path was there. In theory, right, the one seed, the two seed were knocked out. You had home court advantage against the Pacers. Like, there are some people that are going to forever feel like this was the Knicks' opportunity. Why did they not make it to the finish line? And they're not going to blame the players, because they're going to need these players. Heads have to roll, and they fired the coach. And that's show business, man. That's New York City, man. It is tough like that in the NBA. My boy Wallace was calling it 2 weeks ago, right? I was like, man, there were people calling it, like, yo, like, there were people that were saying that beating the Celtics, okay, they beat the Celtics in the second round. That's not the Eastern Conference Finals. Like that doesn't mean anything. It's cool, but that's a participation trophy. Hang the banner. We're not hanging the banner for that. Tibbs' flaws shine through again. The narrative around him rang true again. And as much as I talked about the pattern of the Heat losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, and those teams all going on, right? That is a pattern, but there's also a pattern in the NBA. I was just talking to Alex about it, right? You probably heard them earlier talking about Phil Jackson and the Bulls when he came in. But if you use more recent times, we always reference Mark Jackson being fired and then Steve Kerr taking the Warriors to the promised land. Dwayne Casey with the Raptors being let go, and then Nick Nurse coming in and being the championship head coach. I think that's what the Knicks are trying to do here. Okay, yes, you got us back to relevance. You got us back to prominence. You got us back to consistently winning and getting to the playoffs, but we'll take it from here. And the only way that this doesn't look like a knee-jerk reaction, the only way that this doesn't look like a James Dolan reaction is if Leon Rose, who was Tom Thibodeau's agent, if Leon Rose and the Knicks front office have the next guy ready and that guy gets the best out of this team, or they have the next coach ready, they change the team, they get rid of Cat, they get rid of Bridges, whatever they do, and then that team takes the next step forward. But we don't know that. We got to wait on that. We can't definitively say what is going to be today. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mad Dog, just because Mad Dog makes me laugh. When he goes in like this, like today was one of those days, man. Today was one of those days where if you weren't listening to the radio, you turn the radio on. And today is one of those days, like I already mentioned, Evan and Tiki, they started their show. They were spot on. And man, shout out to Ian Begley was on it, and people wanted to question his reporting. But Evan and Tiki started their show today, and I thought that, I mean, it being Evan was going to talk about, you know, the Mets and beating the Dodgers and what they did the night before. I mean, shout out to the Mets right now as well, getting Clayton Kershaw out of this game. And now here we are on the top of the seventh. They got a one-run lead. Their bullpen has been nails, knock on wood and all that, not trying to jinx anything. Tyler McGill is done. We'll get to that in a second, and we'll get to the Yankee calls, I promise. But let's continue with this audio from Mad Dog, and I'll take these Knicks calls, and then I will transition us into the baseball. I know it's been a ton of Knicks. I know it's been a ton of, you know, repetitive conversations talking about the same players and the same things, but like this is a product of them being successful. You don't talk about them like this when they're bums. This is a product of them getting to the Final Four, them, you know, getting to the sixth game of the Eastern Conference Finals, and now the fans want more. So let's hear from Chris Mad Dog Russo after the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau today.
You're really convinced Dolan made this call?
Honestly, oh, absolutely.
Dolan has not.
Absolutely. Has not. I made a few calls before the show. They all told me the same thing. Okay. Dolan made the call.
I'll take your word for it.
And these people have unbelievable influence within a Knick organization for the last 50 years. Dolan made the call.
So, I mean, you know, Mad Dog's been in the game for a long time. Longer than I've been alive. He's been out here. And I know he's been wrong in some of his predictions and things he said. Remember a couple years ago, he said he would retire if the Diamondbacks beat the Phillies. But, you know, that's a definitive statement. There's another rant from him that I want to get up here as well. We'll take another call. But, like, it does kind of make you feel like this. When Jalen Brunson laughs off a reporter, like, are you seriously asking me that right now? Yeah. And his dad is on the staff of Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, all of us felt like this guy was safe because they did make progress. I was just going on and on about how this is a successful year. I know it hurts in the moment, but this is a successful year. Run it back. It seems like the owner, who had been kind of, at least what we thought, hands off, and that's why the Knicks actually figured some things out. It seemed like Dolan kind of took a step back, and I read that quote from Dolan on the Players podcast, on the Roommates podcast, less than 3 months ago, saying what he learned over time is that, like, you can't wave a magic wand, that you have to have the fundamentals, the basics. You got to build a team. You got to build an organization. Maybe he grew impatient. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... You know, I felt some type of way about this whole Tom Thibodeau thing because it kind of makes me question... Because I remember even you saying it. This team just basically starting out. This is like year one. You give them another year... They'll learn to function as a cohesive unit. But now that Thibodeau's gone, who's next? You're not even giving this team a chance to grow.
But see, that's the thing, Ray. That's the question that we can't answer today. It might not be answered in a week. It might not be, it doesn't have to be answered. If they don't have that answer, it leads us to believe that this was done out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the other caller said, I feel like this is, you know, it makes you feel like that Dolan thing all over again. We're right back to square one.
And we know Dolan can be a tyrant. Thanks for the call, Ray. And I got to tread lightly. I got to chill. Because if I do want to go to the Garden for any reason, like, I don't want to be marked. And you know the history of WFAN. Shout out to Maggie. Like, they don't forget about this thing. That's why we don't ever have any Knicks on the air. I'm probably about to get a text in a minute. Like, chill, bro. Chill. Don't do it. You see what they did to Oak. Like, I don't know. When this all shook out today, I thought about it and I'm like, you know, Leon Rose never has to meet the media. And the Knicks are this team that unites the fans in New York. That's like, they're the, you know, you always have to, you hear consistently from David Stearns, you hear consistently from Brian Cashman, you even hear consistently from Lil Sean Marks, and then even with, like, you know, Joe Shane and like Joe Douglas and now Darren Mooch, like, you hear from the GMs. But after this run that the Knicks had, today would be a day for him to pop out. He's not popping out. And he won't pop out. And he doesn't have to. But Dolan has. Dolan came in here. Dolan was in this studio with Carton and Roberts not too long ago. I don't think they're gonna say anything. I don't think they're gonna meet the media. They're gonna let their fans stew in this. They'll leave it to us media members, me hosting the show, Big Mac coming up next to talk to you guys about it. But my thing is, okay, if this was part of a plan, we need to know who the next guy is sooner rather than later, and we need to know what they're doing with this team ASAP. John in Far Rockaway, what's up, John?
How you doing? I think I might actually have the only reason, logically, why I think they might have done this. Now, if they trade Bridges and Cat, that would show me knee-jerk reaction complete. The only thing I could think of is they hire Mike Malone because Malone was the coach of the Nuggets while Joker won the three-peat MVP. They bring in Malone, hopefully to develop Cat's game. But to me, this looks like Cat and Bridges complaining to front office, complaining to World Wide West, Leon Rose, the owner. You guys brought us here, and we don't like this guy. We constantly played for him. Remember,
Cat
was responsible for getting Thibodeau out of Minnesota the first time around when they played.
Cat got fired twice. So I saw some people say that Cat got fired twice. That's crazy.
I mean, those are the only two logical things that I could think of. If you're trying to eliminate Dolan from the equation.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean,
thanks for the call, John. Like, the money you owe Tom Thibodeau, what'd they say? Like, $30 million?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who has more equity? Obviously, the players that just got here that did give you this best season and this run, and the players, what they cost. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I gave up this many picks in the future for Mikal Bridges, and, you know, Mikal Bridges did have two epic moments in that Celtic series, which was, you know, that's the series they won. That's how you'll really remember this year, beating the Celtics in the fashion that you beat them in back-to-back games, coming back from 20 down, and both of those games ending with Mikal Bridges putting the clamps on them and taking the ball and throwing the ball. Like, he's got some cachet. He's got some equity in the organization. And like I said, you can't trade him anywhere and get anything back close to what you gave up. And then same thing with Karl-Anthony Towns. You moved on from Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo to get him. He's also a local guy. You know, they had these exit meetings and talked to the players, and they might have just asked him yay or nay, yes or no to this coach. Brunson was probably a yes. Josh Hart was probably a yes. OG probably didn't say a damn thing. OG probably just said none of the above. Just act like he didn't hear the question. Had his hoodie up and left. And there's a good chance that Bridges, who was vocal about the minutes, and remember that back and forth? Because Tom Thibodeau tried to play like they didn't talk. Like, that didn't happen when, like, in the media. And I'm telling you, that's a whole other tricky dynamic about being the head coach of the New York Knicks with this New York media. They're going to ask you all these type of things. And if one of your players says, oh, yeah, well, we did this or said this. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's compounded, though, because it can't just be the players against the coach. It's also some of the obvious flaws of this head coach, this modern-day NBA, and wanting to make a change now because this window is closing and you feel like, okay, potentially all we got to do, like, Tatum is down next year. The Cavaliers with Kenny Atkinson, look at the jump that they made changing their coach in 1 year. If we change the coach, maybe next year we're the one seed. Maybe next year we get past the Pacers. But who's the coach? Somebody tell me who the coach is. Is it Johnny Bryant? I don't know. When I think about it being Dolan too, and like the fact that Bobby Marks put that tweet out where he said, like, there were times when we sort of reached for that shiny, sparkly object, thinking maybe this is what we need. I feel like Dolan is going back to that, and it doesn't work like that, man. Like, don't tell me that the Knicks have to get somebody who's won a championship before. Who has won a championship for the New York Knicks? They haven't won in 52 years. It's different over here. And, like, don't tell me they need another name. Tom Thibodeau was a name. I don't know. This is an interesting subject. Let's go to Alhanis.
Alhanis, what's up,
Keith? Alhanis, what's up, man? In Queens, you're on the fan.
Hey, free Charles Oakley, man, first and foremost.
Word.
But, yeah, man, we missed the guy, man. I could just imagine him with the guys taking picks with Latrell Sprewell, John Starks. We need Oakley back in the garden, for sure.
Yeah, he was just on the podcast talking, and you know what? Like, I seen him in Brooklyn. He's welcome in the Barclays Center. And when they put him up on the big screen in Brooklyn, they don't play any of his Knicks highlights.
Typical Jim Dolan run garden. What can you expect? But so Tibbs, right? Tibbs, first and foremost, man, shout out to Tibbs, man. He took us out the mud, man. He made the playoffs, was it 4 out of 5 years, back-to-back 50-win season. Unfortunately, he's just a victim of his own success, right? He raised the bar, but let's face it, he's also, you know, a bit stubborn. Him not paying the bench, losing game one might have done it for him. I mean, this series should have gone to game seven at least. But would I have fired him today? Probably not. I would at least give him one more season. If you look at the Pacers, you know, they had the starting five for the last past two or three seasons. OKC, you know, them as well. I would say run it back one more season with the same group that we had. I know it's going to be a challenge to have Mitch, Bridges. We had to make a decision on him. Are we going to re-sign him? I mean, is he a $30 million player? Probably not. But we did give him 5 draft picks for him. We're definitely not getting that back. So that's, you know, that's going to be pretty tough to do. So Jim Dolan, this has everything written all over him. I mean, this seems to be something that happened unexpectedly. The season's not even over yet. He must have been frustrated and said, I want this guy gone. typical Jim Dolan kind of stuff, man. But we'll see what happens, you know. And hopefully, you know, we'll get some things moving as far as coaching goes. I'm hearing a lot of names out there just like you are. But if I had to pick somebody right now, it has to be Malone. Reason being is because he had a center. He had Jokic, you know, three-time MVP. Hopefully he could do something with Towns. And the guy did win a championship. So if I had to guess, it has to be him.
Thanks for the call. And I don't know. I feel like Mike Malone was like, it was such an easy. And like, that's another reason why this, you know, you could say this wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. Because when they fired Mike Malone in Denver, Knicks fans and people in New York were saying, that's the next coach of the New York Knicks. When Tibbs gets knocked out in the second round again, they're going to hire the guy from Queens. There's people saying, well, if they do go get Giannis, go get Mike Budenholzer. I don't think you want him either. Frank Isola threw Jason Kidd out there. Jason Kidd coached Giannis, and he coached Jalen Brunson. I don't know, man. It is a perplexing Pegasus. And I do feel like Jim Dolan, like this has kind of Woody Johnson vibes, right? Like Woody Johnson fired Rob Sala week 5 and was like, wait, hold on, yo. I guess the writing was on the wall for Rob Sala to be fired, but right now, like, because they also could have fired Tom Thibodeau during the season, this upcoming season. We see that happen all the time, right? If they felt like, I don't know. When I got that alert today, I don't know how many texts I got. I was talking to a couple people at the same time. And it's like the whole world got hit at this. Like 3 different people that I was talking to around that time. Yo, Tibbs, I think Paulie hit me. My boy Gabe hit me. Somebody else that I was talking to in that moment was like, yo, what? So it was a shock. Now what's next? Now you have to make the right hire. And also you got to make a move. And it will feel like old Knicks, typical Knicks. Like a mistake if they don't make the right moves here. You can't play around with this type of stuff. Like, that's why. And I guess, you know what? There's two sides of the coin. One side of the coin tells you play it safe and stick with the guy that got you here. Dance with the one that brung you and hope that he can continue to adapt and evolve and that the team can continue to gel and work on their chemistry. And, you know, together they overcome this. And I feel like that's a part of sports, right? Like, you lose to the Pacers back-to-back years, that motivates them. Patrick Mahomes just came out and talked about how losing to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, like, that's motivating him. That's giving him that extra in a workout, right? When you're tired or whatever. Like, that type of stuff for groups help them together. But this could be a different group, and it's definitely going to be a different leader of the group now. So I just think you need answers fast, and you're not going to get answers fast. So you're going to have to stew in this one. And the longer that you stew in it and the longer that you think about it and the longer things don't happen. And, you know, because the draft is coming up in 3 weeks and then free agency hits. And when you heard Tom Thibodeau, I put the video out because he was just talking after the season like he was safe. Did somebody assure him that he was safe? Did someone have those comments? Because he was talking about the process. He said it's a big offseason for us and what they got to go through, what they got to do. So how do you get to the exit meetings as a group and a day or two after the exit meetings, the coach gets chopped? Well, you better have a good guy in mind. You better have the successor, the next coach that's going to be, because it has happened before. But I got a feeling that they don't have the next guy in mind. I think they have a handful of guys in mind. They have a couple guys. And, you know, I heard the comparison today, and we'll start to transition into the Yankees, about Joe Girardi, who got to Game 7 of the ALCS and ultimately fell short of the World Series. But he already had a World Series ring from 2009. And the Yankees felt like they needed a different voice, a younger coach with younger methods. And they also needed somebody that they could work with closer in a Joe Girardi than they felt like they could. And, you know, younger players like a Gary Sanchez, I guess he was too hard on, and that's, you know, kind of leaning into the players and letting them control the franchise. It's not the recipe for success that people think it is. You know, it took Aaron Boone what, 8 years to get past where Joe Girardi got? I don't know, man. I don't know. For the Knicks fan now, the Knicks fan is thirsty. And not even thirsty. Like, you were thirsty. Now you got that taste in your mouth of being close, and you started to have those dreams, and you were closer than ever where that dream of a parade, that dream of a finals, the dream of the garden floor saying finals and that script on it. And, like, now that's where the bar is. When the bar going into the season was, yo, let's get to the second round. Maybe if we can get out of the second round, that'd be cool with this team. Like, if we can beat the Celtics, this team was beat the Celtics, hopefully we can do that. Now the bar is, yo, you got to get to the finals. You got to get out of the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's going to be tough for a first-time head coach. I think they need to hire a veteran coach. And I do think Dolan is looking for a splashy move. I do think he's looking for somebody with a name that kind of comes in with some gravitas, because that's also a way to quell the fans, to kind of calm people down. It's like, oh, like, I mean, it might be a Mike Malone, but who knows if he's the right guy to work with this team. You got to possibly tweak the team. I just think when you get this close, man, you don't want to be figuring so much. When you get this close to the promised land, you want to stick with what got you, because starting over, who wants to start over? I've been joking, like trolling my Knicks fan friends, and been like, what, rebuild time? It's not a rebuild. It's a retool, but it feels like you might actually be rebuilding. Robbie is in Lenox on the Fan. What's up, Robbie?
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good.
Hey, first of all, I'm all right, man. First of all, I'll be at Yankee Stadium on Sunday night. So I was going to say, where are you sitting? I don't even know where I'm sitting right now. My girlfriend's got the ticket.
I would love to go Sunday night. I am still negotiating going. I'm going Friday, and I'm negotiating going Thursday and Friday. I probably won't be able to go Sunday.
So I was going to say, how does this work? Your wife lets you go out every night. That's good. Good for you.
You're home all day, right? Yeah, I had the boy. I did the whole nighttime routine.
See, I knew it. See?
Gave my wife a break. So I'm going to do that again tomorrow, and then I think I can figure out the weekend.
There you go. Anyway, listen about the Yankees first before we get to the Knicks. You know, now that Weaver's out, the question is, you know, do you trust this guy coming out of the bullpen again tonight? Again, he gives up a hit, and you're nervous again. Reminds me of John Wetland. That's what it's like, you know, going on with the, you know, the acquisition of a guy that's supposed to be a lights out closer. Every time he comes out, he scares you, right? I mean, so what are they supposed to do?
Every at bat scares me, and he had some battles tonight, and I'm just like, I'm prepared for the worst because I've
Cleveland,
seen it.
Right? It's Cleveland. We talk about only Cleveland here. That's not very good.
It could be anybody. It could be the Tampa Bay Rays, the Detroit Tigers.
I mean, to me, a guy that doesn't have, like, you know, stuff that is, like, basically close out, strikeout stuff scares you. When your best pitch, when your lights out pitch is a changeup, that's bothersome to me. You know, that's the problem. But, you know, it's been a fun season so far. Hopefully Weaver gets back quickly. I mean, you know, Keith, it's hard to complain. I mean, we got whomped by the Dodgers. We came back with another – you know, 7-3 winning on the road. I mean, to me, it's been a really good season so far. So not a lot of things to complain about. Baby Bombers are fun. The team's going well. It's a much better built team than Cashman had in the years right now. Cashman's sort of actually, you know, using his brain now. He's got to, you know, end of his stubbornness about putting heavy teams together. He's got guys now to put the ball in play for the most part. You know, we got a different team, so we'll see what happens. But about the Knicks, look, I was shocked about Tibbs getting fired today. I'll be honest with you, I would have fired him after game one in the Indiana series. That was the worst 2 minutes and 32 seconds of coaching I've ever seen. And it's not only his fault, it was the player's fault. But here's my point, okay? What does an NBA coach do today? Okay, first of all, do you really think Tibbs sits in the huddle and says, okay, guys, I want you to launch 40 shots from 26 feet?
I'll say this. Okay, like, once you're in the game, there are some things that you have to do as a head coach, like call timeouts, like stop runs, like draw up inbound plays. I mean, and those are all things that they fault Tibbs for. But what I give him credit for, and I've heard this a lot, is their preparation when the game ends, watching film and preparing for games. How much stock can we put in that when we watch them fail and go down 20 a bunch of times and lose games the whole way?
But the thing is, for example, it's situational basketball. Like, there's a time to take a three and then there's a time not to take a three. For example, in that 2:32, okay, for example, Jalen Brunson pumping a three when he's not a good three-point shooter with about less than 2 minutes left is asinine. And you have to think on the court what the situation is. And then you have a situation where you have a 5-point lead 28 seconds on the game clock, 18 seconds on the shot clock. Why are you even considering going to the basket?
Not for nothing. They need another shooter because, like, when, like, right. you, like Brunson's not a good shooter. He's a good enough shooter for them. He's the one shooting the ball. Who else would you rather have shooting the three?
No, but I'm saying, why are you taking a three? No, but I'm saying, don't take a three with an 8-point lead. You have to understand the situation. At that point, you either need to draw contact. And with 28 seconds left in the game, you dribble out. You're the best foul shooter on the team. Get fouled.
They tweak so many times. Like,
how about Josh? How about Josh Hart fouling a guy with a minute 20 seconds left? How about Tibbs? Okay, this is where Tibbs kills me, okay? Okay, he never fouled Naismith. Four times he makes threes, okay? So then what he does, he fouls Naismith with 12 seconds left. Why? The worst case scenario, Naismith makes another three, and you're tied, and the Knicks have the ball with a chance to win that game in game one. So that made no sense because you stopped the clock, and then the Knicks missed foul shots. And by the way, they also missed 12 foul shots in that game. That's another reason. So this team can't shoot foul shots. You're going to blame Tibbs for that? To me, an NBA coach has no – guys what I grew up with, Red Holtzman, Gene Shue, Kevin Loggery, Billy Cunningham, all these guys, Dr. Jack Ramsey, all the guys I grew up watching coach basketball, could never coach these guys today. They could never coach the self-indulgent player who decides he's going to chuck a three for no reason, going to dribble and dribble and dribble and play one-on-one basketball. The game is played so stupidly today, Keith. Why can't Cat, who has all this talent and ability, play in the post and learn low post moves? I hope that they get Mike Malone. He teaches this guy. Why can't basketball be intelligent anymore? I understand the analytics, but you don't have to shoot 35 shots from 26 feet when you have a big man that's 7 feet and can dominate down low, and Indiana has no answer for. So anyway, thanks for giving me the time. I'll listen to your thoughts and response. So thanks, Keith. Hopefully, maybe I'll see you one of these days down at the stadium, somebody. Thanks
for the call, Robbie. Yeah, hope to see you. I don't think I'm going to get there Sunday. Look, with this Knicks team, it was their first year playing together. I can't absolve them. They're pros. They had two all-pro, you know, they had two all-star starters. They made some boneheaded plays and turnovers, and they didn't play defense. But I attribute a lot to that being chemistry, being lack thereof of chemistry. And when you look at this Pacers team, those guys, they're the same team as last year. They've played together. They've been in the battles. They've been in the moments. They know what to expect from each other. They know where everybody's going to be. They know who's shooting the shots. You know, like if Brunson is chucking up a shot, I can't be mad at him. He's the guy. He's the best player on the team. He's a guy that can go for 40. He's going to shoot threes. He's trying to put up his three-point celebration. He's trying to hold up the three fingers out. Like, that's what he's going to do. I had a caller say that they need a two-guard. They need somebody that can shoot the three. I mean, they had DiVincenzo alongside of him. That worked pretty decent. But they do need another guy like that. And, you know, when you talk about coaching, there's only so much the coach can do. You know, Jeff Teague was talking about how Tibbs doesn't coach these guys. He just yells certain things, and he lets them be themselves. He lets you be who you want to be. And you can't be individuals in the Eastern Conference Finals playing against the whole team where Aaron Nesmith could be the hero, Tyrese Halliburton could be the hero, Pascal Siakam could be the hero, TJ McConnell could get busy for a little bit, Obi Toppin, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have multiple guys on the team that will just take advantage of certain windows and weaknesses, and you get beat. So I think this team, I don't know what this team, it's hard to speak about this team right now because I don't think that they're running it back with this team. They're not running it back with the coach. Why run it back with this team? It was 1 year, you got where you got. I need to know who's leading the team and what moves they're making in the draft and in free agency. I don't know if they're committed to Cat. If they're not committed to Tom Thibodeau, why would they be committed to Cat or Bridges? But there's also the school of thought that I had before about what you gave up for him. I don't know who we're talking about either. Is it Leon Rose or is it Dolan? It's both. They are in an unenviable spot. They have to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals with a different head coach, and they have to improve this team. And I think it's on the table for them to change the team and change the starting five and lose you know, some of these guys. I don't know. 888-808-1019. We got to break it down. But yeah, you know, when we come back, we'll talk about the Devin Williams situation. We'll talk about the pitching for the Yankees that has been great. We'll talk about the infield situation now that Jazz is back and DJ is playing second. And then we'll also get into the Mets. But like right now, not for nothing, you should be watching this Met game. This looks like a playoff game. Reed Garrett versus Shohei Ohtani, bottom of the eighth, one-run game. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Cam to Am returns right after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Oh boy. Bottom of the eighth. Two outs. Runners at the corners. They just caught Ohtani in a rundown. The Dodgers are trying to come back here. It's 5-4 Mets at Chavez Ravine. Keith McPherson on the Fan taking your calls on Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks. We're going to get more into the Yankees conversation, but I'll still take your calls. So, you know, watching the Yankee game tonight, I knew it was going to end with Devin Williams on the mound because that's just how the baseball gods operate, right? That's just how it had to go. And it's Carlos Rodon versus Tanner Bibee. And nobody is giving this matchup the hype that they gave the weekend matchup, right? Because that was the World Series rematch. Nobody cares about the ALCS rematch. But, you know, through the beginning of this game, there was a little bit of a no-no going. I think Rodon retired 17 in a row, and Bibee, I was like, well, another different lineup, and obviously Jazz coming back. We got to break out of this. So Jazz, in the fifth inning, had that single, a little bloop that falls in, and then things got a little interesting. DJ followed up with a single. I thought we were about to you know, break that inning open a little bit more, but they put bat to ball. Good things happened, and they got on the board, and I was like, all right, cool, cool. I'll take it. A scar is not so fleet of foot. It is what it is, whatever. I'm not stressing about that part of the game as I'm going through my notes that I had in the game. As I'm, you know, writing stuff down, you know, the game takes shape in different ways. And you get to the sixth, and it's interesting, right? In the sixth, the most interesting that happened in the sixth, again, you guys that are over there in section, like, I don't even know the section number. Right field, foul territory, sitting right on the wall. There's no netting. That Mookie Betts territory where tonight, or last night, Aaron Judge goes to make the play. In the top of the six, Rodon strikes out the Big Christmas. He gets Steven hit the Kwan to ground out. And then the last out was about to be made, but a fan, a grown-ass man in a Nike Tech suit, reached his hand into Judge's glove. And I don't know why. I guess it's because I go to games. I guess because I'm also like a Yankee fan, and I've been to that stadium so much. I don't understand why y'all get so excited for the ball to come your way and don't identify, one, we're on defense. Like, we need to make that out. Also, here comes Aaron Judge, the face of baseball, the AL Player of the Month. Like, you got to get out of the way. Anyway, they review it. Boone comes out and they challenge it, and it's fan interference. And Rodon is through the six. And then we keep it rocking until we get to the seventh inning. And in the seventh inning, that one run comes right back, and that ends Rodon's scoreless streak. I think he had went 20 or 21 innings without giving a run up. 17 in a row, 20 straight scoreless innings. Retired 17 in a row, 20 straight scoreless innings. We are getting the best out of Carlos Rodon. Better late than never. Perfect timing with Cole being out. The ROI on RODON. Los, we see you. We appreciate you. Good to have you. And then a bloop and a blast like I was talking about. A back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. Jazz Chisholm. Dinger Tuesday, I swear I had the thought, but I'm not gambling right now because I'm popped. Betting on the Knicks, betting on Juan Soto to homer, waste of money. Well, not tonight. Juan Soto did homer, should have put something on it. But anyway, Jazz homers, his eighth homer, welcome back. And then Volpe follows up with his seventh homer, back-to-back in a belly-to-belly, and that's the three runs that the Yankees would score. Mark Leiter Jr. does his thing. And we get to Devin Williams. And you know what? I was talking about it last night when we got the news that Luke Weaver was going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks going on the IL. It is what it is. And what a winding road for Devin Williams. I apologize to this guy because I was done with him. I was out on him. You know, I just was out on him because I felt like it was too much to overcome. Be in the face of the beard policy. Going on paternity leave, fans blaming you for that Diamondback series that we lost, and they, you know, had some issues with the bullpen. Mark Leiter Jr. gave it up then, and then you come back and you can't close. You lose the closer job. We want Weaver chance, and you blow so many four-run leads, and it just looked all bad. It looked like this guy couldn't pitch in New York. I remember getting on the fan saying you can't pitch him in the stadium. Shout out to Ann and Tina. They were in the stadium tonight. She's like, you're so right. We were at the stadium tonight. We're watching Williams, and you get that pit in your stomach, just like we did with Holmes. I was calling him Pray Holmes. I was praying. I'm in my house. Like, please, we can't. Like, this can't be how it starts. Like, yo, he can't come in the day after we lose Weaver and blow a three-run lead and then lose the first game of the series, like, to start a Holmes, and it just can't happen. And you know what? First, there was a pinch hit, and he gets through the first batter, Kyle Manzardo, who pinch hit for David Fry, and you're like, okay, that's one. But then Devin Williams' body language changed after the battle with Carlos Santana. Like, Carlos Santana, they battled. How many pitches were in that at bat? A 9-pitch at bat and a double off him. And it's like, all right, baseball is so mental. And I'm like worried about this guy's mental. You know, what's Yogi say? Baseball is 90% mental. Baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. I'm worried about this guy's mental because he's failed so much. And that stadium gets uneasy. You can hear everybody moan and groan. His demeanor looked fine, actually, after the Carlos Santana double. Like, all right, whatever. Good at bat, you know, 9-pitch at bat, whatever. But his demeanor changed after Schneeman smoked one by DJ. And I don't know if Jazz gets to that one. There was one earlier in the game that I'm like, you know, when that first run scored, I'm like, Jazz makes that play. A lot of guys make that play. But I don't know if the one that got by Schneeman, it was right there, you know, through the hole. But you see Devin Williams kind of like, ah. And, you know, they have a mound visit, which, good, go talk to him. But Santana scores, he gives up a run. And then they flash the stat of just, I think his ERA is over 10 in the ninth inning. And I think it's under three in the eighth inning. And I'm like, this guy was going so good as a setup man. And the Yankees kind of set this up last week against Anaheim, where they just so badly wanted to give him the opportunity to get the last three outs. And I'm like, stop trying to force it, man. But whatever. You know, a stolen base happens in the at bat against Naylor. He almost had one go to the backstop, a wild pitch, but ultimately he battles and he gets Bo Naylor to fly out and they get out of it. And if you look at his last two opportunities, the Angels pitching in the ninth and tonight pitching in the ninth, he gave up runs, but he also got out of it without losing the game, without completely blowing it. So 888-808-1019, it's just something we got to go through. I got off Twitter. I tried to shower during the seventh inning stretch because you get a little bit more time. And as I'm in the shower listening, we go back to back in a belly to belly. So I'm like, all right, maybe some good things are going to happen. I'm going to stay, you know, listening to the game now. But then when Devin Williams comes out, I'm like, I got to watch. And I'm telling you, the feeling, like, my wife is asleep, my son is asleep, and I'm watching before I leave to come here. And I'm just like, this guy can't do this. He can't blow this game. And you're watching every single pitch, and he's only got two pitches. And I just literally started thinking, I'm like, I can't do this for 4 to 6 weeks. This is going to be our lives for 4 to 6 weeks with Devin Williams as the closer. I hope he's better. I hope he saves the game more than he blows it, but he's guaranteed to almost, I don't know. I don't want to put any bad energy out. I'm rocking with you, bro. I'm a Yankee fan. I root for the laundry. I want Devin Williams to be lights out. I want him to find it. But some people think that, like, he's going to find it in this stretch and take back the closer role, and then they could put Weaver in the center. No, Weaver has the head for it. Weaver has the, like, moxie and the, like, personality for it. He, even in Susan's interview with him today, he talked about, you know, being ferocious. And he referred to himself as ferocious, and we were calling him the ferocious jungle cat out there last year. Like, I want that psychopath as the closer. I don't want my closer to be somebody that's like, woe is me. And if he gives up a hit or he gives up a run, he's like, oh, the walls are closing in on me. The sky is falling again. Like, nah, that's not the way. 888-808-1019. Carlos in Clifton, New Jersey. Before we go to break, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Real quick, just a couple of points. But first, I got a bone to pick with you. That guy, that tourist, that got in front of Judge on that ball down the far line. That, you know, he was a tourist, right? He had too many zippers. That's the Nike Timu jacket. That guy's definitely a tourist.
He had the Canal Street, yeah. Nike Tech.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, here's what I want to say about Tibbs. I'm at work and my coworker shouted out, oh, just came up, they fired him. I said, I knew it. I just felt that the writing was on the wall for him. If he didn't get to the chip after what transpired in that game one, I just felt that it was over for him. He had to get to the chip.
Yeah.
For him to even survive. I mean, if you saw, like, the adjustments that were being made after game five, was it, when they couldn't stop Cat? He was going straight to the hoop. He was dogging him. Indiana came out and made adjustments. They said they're not going to allow him to go to the hoop. They double-teamed him every time he got the ball. They double-teamed Brunson every time he got the ball. And who did they leave out to shoot the three? Josh Hart. It was planned. Like, and Tibbs never made the adjustment. Take Josh Hart out. Put a three-pointer. Put what's his name? Sham, that was hitting every three-pointer he took. Put somebody else in. Like, he made no adjustment. And I just knew the writing was on the wall. And I just got one more thing to say, and I'm going to listen to you. If the machine continues to hit the way he hits, even his outs today were loud, and he got another single, I think we're going to have a good problem. I think we're going to have a good problem. Maybe they go get more pitching at the deadline than another infielder. I'll hang up, and thanks, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Los. I mean, I guess it's a good problem, but, like, to me, I do have a little bit of a problem with the Yankees going against their philosophy change. And we'll cue this up for calls in the 1 o'clock hour, 888-808-1019. Wasn't the whole thing that they were exposed for their defense? Wasn't the whole thing they were trying to get more athletic? Wasn't the whole thing that, like, this team, they were going to move Jazz back to second because that's his true position? They were going to stop playing guys out of position? Like, they refused to move Trent Grisham out of center field? And I don't know, man. I'll say this about DJ. I think he's playing because of two reasons. The money that he's owed, talking about getting a return on investment out of Rodon. They owe him $30 million, 15 this year, 15 next year. They're trying to get a return on investment out of the guy. He's going to be in the lineup, but he's going to play second base. I guess he can't play third base anymore. He can't move that quickly. He's not athletic. So Jazz has to do that, and Jazz will do that just fine. But what are we doing this for? Like, is this going to be for the rest of the year? Is this just up to the deadline? Because honestly, like, DJ had a knock today, and like Carlos said, even his outs were loud. I still just don't believe that, like, I don't know. I don't want to hate on him because, like I said, I'm a Yankee fan. I root for the Yankees. There was a point in time where DJ was my favorite Yankee, you know, or not favorite Yankee, but he was a very needed Yankee. You know, he's batting ninth. You would love to see him have more of that leadoff hitter in him that he used to have. But I just feel like this team is better with Jazz at second base. And I think what Cashman is doing here, seeing what DJ has through June, through July, and as it gets warmer here, and then also seeing what the trade market has. Maybe they find a right-handed utility infielder. Maybe. Max Muncy is on a tear, bro. Solo homer for Max Muncy, his second homer of the game. He just tied it up. 5-5, bottom of the ninth. You know what? And yeah, we'll talk about DJ and Jazz, and that, you know, they optioned Yorbit Vivas, and I don't know what. Where the hell is Pablo Reyes? Did I miss him getting optioned? I guess Peraza is still hanging around. But I think really this comes down to what's available at the deadline. 888-808-1019. If they can get a third baseman or a second baseman, a right-handed hitting one, I wish Tommy Edman was available at the deadline this year. You know, then I think they'll move accordingly. And Jazz is flexible where he could go to second or he could stay at third. Also, Mets fans call me up now. Brazoban, he's been good. And I just talked about this Mets bullpen has been nails. I knocked on wood. I said I didn't want to jinx it. But we might be in for another extra innings game tonight. And there's so much conversation about the Mets closing the gap on the Dodgers. These have been pretty evenly matched contests. So we're in for a good one. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. Still taking calls on Tibbs and the Knicks, but the Yankee conversation is out there. And then before I get out of here at 2, we're definitely going to talk about what's going on with the Mets and the Dodgers. 888-808-1019, BRB.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.